the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. We're so happy that you're with us this morning on this beautiful feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes. Happy birthday, Mary.
Happy birthday, Mary. What a beautiful feast day. I love a good Marian feast day.
Well, good.
Just gets me off on the right foot. So let's start this morning speaking of the right foot with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Impart to your servants, we pray, O Lord, the gift of heavenly grace, that the feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin may bring deeper peace to those whom the birth of her Son was the dawning of salvation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for us. We have a wonderful show for you. Today, we'll hear about some events in our listening area. There are lots of them coming up, right, Damian? So we'll hear about those. The Louisiana Priest Convention is coming up, and Father Michael Alello, pastor of St. Thomas More Parish in Baton Rouge, will join us to share some details about that. So what are we called to do as Catholics in this digital age? Well, we'll find out. Nicole Jones, digital media manager for the Diocese of Baton Rouge, will join us to tell us more. And David Dawson Jr., director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux, will talk about praying for our children and the obstacles we face when we're doing that.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, especially when you're praying for them in the middle of them arguing.
Right?
Yes.
That's
an obstacle in itself, right?
That's right.
Well,
speaking of obstacles.
Hey, weather, right?
Right. We had a tree down in our neighborhood, a major giant oak tree.
A storm blew through late yesterday.
It sure did.
In Baton Rouge, anyway, and a lot of other areas, North Shore as well. But we'll see partly cloudy skies this morning, give you a chance to clean things up if needed. Scattered showers later on today are likely, 70% chance of rain to be specific, with winds north-northeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour, 80% humidity. That's the damper. Same forecast for tomorrow. The weekend may be a little bit better. Good news when we have these overcast skies, as I've said before. High today, only 86. The low, believe it or not, is going to be 68 tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, get below 70 degrees.
That's pretty
be a nice evening to sit out on the porch and watch the sunset or the rainfall, whichever's happening. Temperatures in and around the area, not a whole lot of difference anywhere. Covington, Houma-Thibodaux, and Gulfport all reporting 71 degrees right now. In New Orleans, it's 75, and in Baton Rouge, it's 72 degrees.
Wow. Well, I'm thinking it's a birthday today. It's a celebration.
It is. You want to sing happy birthday to Mary?
I think you should.
I think what do you mean, me? How about
You're
us?
You're the singer in this group.
Well, okay. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mother Mary. Happy birthday to you.
Bravo.
I'd have done my Elvis impression, but I might have embarrassed myself. So.
Might have? No. Okay, good. That was wonderful. Thank you. So it's a beautiful feast day today of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mary's birthday.
Wait, and it's not a feast day you hear a lot about.
You're right.
Isn't it? Because you've got so many other feast days related to Mary. But this is an important one.
It is. It is an important one.
So. Yeah, she wouldn't have been born. Things may not have happened the way we wanted.
You're right.
Would have liked.
That's right.
All right. Well, don't go away, folks. We've got a number of events in and around the South Louisiana area that you're going to want to know about. It's 5 after on Wake Up.
On this feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 1. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Matthew opens his gospel with Jesus' genealogy, which is purposely constructed in three groups of 14, which happens to be the numerical value of the letters that make up David's name in Hebrew. In this way, he emphasized that Jesus is the promised son of David, the Messiah. The first group of ancestors goes from Abraham to David. The second group of forefathers covers the period from David to the Babylonian exile in 586 BC. The final group of 14 goes from the exile to Jesus. In regard to Jesus' birth, St. Matthew affirms that Mary is the mother of God when he identifies Jesus as Emmanuel, that is, God with us. Now, some claim that we should only call Mary the mother of Jesus, not the mother of God. Please, women give birth to persons. In regard to the Blessed Mother, the second person of the Blessed Trinity assumed a human nature in her womb. Therefore, in giving birth to the Son of God in human form, Mary did indeed become the Mother of God. But this does not imply that Mary contributed to or is above Jesus' divinity. The logic is inescapable. Statement 1, Mary is the mother of Jesus. Statement 2, Jesus is God. Conclusion, hello, Mary is the mother of God. To logically deny the conclusion, one must deny either one or both of the first two statements. Claiming that Mary is only the mother of Jesus, but not the mother of God, leads to a denial of Jesus' divinity, or the error that the divine Son is one person and Jesus is a separate person. The grammatical structure of the Greek text captures Joseph's anguish over Mary's unexpected pregnancy. Joseph was plunged into the mystery of God's action. The apparent contradictions between whom he knew Mary to be, the physical evidence of the pregnancy, and his lack of understanding what God is doing. Then the light of divine revelation rescued Joseph. The Savior of the world was tabernacled in Mary's womb. All is indeed well, and Joseph will protect them. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, baby. 11 after 7 on a happy Thursday morning, September 8th, the birthday of Mary. And welcome to Wake Up, folks. We are so glad you're with us. Alicia Quibido and Damian Colato are here with you. And some events. If you like fishing, you may want to participate in this, baby. Okay. 8th Annual St. Jude Catholic Church Fishing Rodeo is only weeks away. It's going to be October 1st. They're going to be meeting at Butch Saunier's camp in Empire, Louisiana. Registration is now open, but you better register by tomorrow, which is kind of why we're announcing this, if you want to get the souvenir t-shirt that comes with your registration. The event will be Friday and Saturday, September 30th and October 1st at 12 o'clock registration and check-in, and then from 6 to 8:30, it's going to be the captain's dinner. Following that, on Saturday is when the fishing begins. Any Louisiana coastal waters is the area. You don't have to be a St. Jude Catholic Church parishioner to participate. And you bring your sons or your daughters as well, because there's kids divisions as well. The scales are going to open up at 2 o'clock for weigh-in, and weigh-in cutoff is going to be at 4. And there's always everything from dinner, award ceremony, raffle board. If you'd like more information, you can contact Mike Wilson at mike-p-wilson@bellsouth.net or go to ststjudemensclub.org, ststjudemensclub.org to find out more information.
That's right. And it's Mike_P_Wilson.
You could tell I didn't know.
It's dash. Like I was just smoothing into that's, I wasn't going to point underscore. That out, but it is underscore. Yeah. But that's okay. People could just check out St. Jude.
Yeah. That's why I gave that one.
Too. That's right. That's right. Well, good. Well, hey, on Sunday, September 11th from 6 to 7:30 is Theology on Tap. It's at St. Alphonse Catholic Church in Greenwell Springs. And Lauren DeWitt will be there accompanied by Olga Johnson to talk about living a liturgical and prayerful life. It is open to all adults, but they do need you to RSVP. So you'll need to call 225-261-4644. Or you can email dre@alphonse.org. No. The dinner begins at 6, and then the talk is from 6:30 to 7:30, and again, that is in Greenwell Springs.
Okay. Tonight at 6 o'clock, St. Mary of the Angels in New Orleans is hosting a peace prayer walk, and it's in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Parishioners and guests will peacefully and solemnly proceed through the neighborhood near the church, witnessing the peace of Christ as bestowed upon us all. And St. Mary of the Angels is located at 3501 North Miro. If you'd like more information, go to smaneworleans.org, smaneworleans.org.
Well, and one more Theology on Tap. That's Tuesday, September 13th at Estroma Brewing, and that is Deacon Albert Blunt will be the speaker, and he'll talk about what do you seek, intentionality and vocation, and it's for adults only. Again, that's at Estroma Brewing in St. Gabriel, and that's September 13th from 6 to 9 p.m. You don't need to RSVP. You can just show up.
Just go. Yep. One quick reminder, we got a last minute notice here. At Christ the King tonight from 7 to 8:30, Gender and the Theology of Your Body, Jason Everett will be the speaker.
Nice.
So,
if Jason you want Everett, to attend, he is at St. Michael the Archangel speaking today. So pray for all the
students. So he's making the rounds.
They hear his message. That's right.
Okay. Well, good. Get a chance. Go see him. It is already 15 after on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 8th. Today we celebrate the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We know nothing of the circumstances of Mary's birth, but the Church holds the Blessed Mother in such high esteem that it has long celebrated her birth on this date, which comes exactly 9 months after the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. The so-called Gospel of James, dating from the 2nd century, reported that Anna and Joachim were the parents of Mary. Though the work has no historical value, it reflects the long-held devotion to Mary in both the Eastern and Western churches. We also remain unclear about where Mary was born. Ancient traditions suggest either Nazareth or Jerusalem. We can see every human birth as a call for new hope in the world. This is true in a magnificent way in Mary. If Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love, Mary is the foreshadowing of that love. If Jesus has brought the fullness of salvation, Mary is its dawning. Next to the birth of Jesus, Mary's birth offers the greatest possible happiness to the world. Each time we celebrate her birth, we can confidently hope for an increase of peace in our hearts and in the world at large. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Almost 19 after the hour on a beautiful Thursday morning. Let's hope the day stays that way. Happy Thursday, everyone. September 8th. With us right now is Father Michael Alello, pastor at St. Thomas More Catholic Church in Baton Rouge, here to talk about the upcoming Louisiana Priest Convention. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I didn't know these guys had a convention.
They don't ever stop working.
At least they get together.
That's right.
Statewide.
Yep.
They are now. COVID may have put a damper on it. We're going to find out right now. Father Michael, good morning and welcome to Wake Up, brother.
Good morning, everybody. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. So tell us about the Louisiana Priest Convention. I know it's going to be held at the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans, September 20th to the 22nd. What's going to happen there, brother?
Yeah, so this is a statewide conference and gathering of priests that has been going on for a while now. A few years ago, when I was ordained in 07, the convention had kind of fallen by its wayside. We were gathering at the lovely New Orleans Airport Hilton Hotel, and the attendance was pretty dismal. But since then, it has kind of been re-engaged and re-enlivened. And so we have, as of yesterday, 345 priests registered. We hope that number will push back to 400-ish. Our last gathering a few years ago was at 425, which is the largest we've had in its history.
Wow.
We were scheduled last year to have our conference, and then obviously COVID knocked us out, and we had to push back to this year. So it's going to be an exciting time, and it's a time for, more than anything, fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some great speakers coming along as well. And, you know, so it's an opportunity for guys to just gather for 2 days. We celebrate the Eucharist together. There's plenty of opportunities for prayer, but there are also just some breakout sessions. Archbishop Amon will give one of our keynotes. The Apostolic Nuncio will be flying in from D.C. to join us and give one of our keynotes as well. I believe Bishop Wack from Florida is also one of our keynotes. I probably should have prepared and pulled up the schedule. I failed miserably. So.
No, that's okay. You know what's interesting, though? During the event, I'm sure you guys eat pretty good, though, right? One thing about priests, you guys not only know how to cook, but y'all know how to really eat well.
Yeah, so it's actually an interesting gig, right? So we provide breakfast and lunch for the guys, and then dinner is on your own. And that's intentional.
Okay.
We want guys to go out and really just have some quality time with their friends and their brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So each night, it's two nights, and so each of those nights are open. And that's a great thing. You know, the guys typically go out with their buddies that they haven't seen. Maybe they're classmates from seminary or friends from from a different diocese. It's just a great opportunity for fellowship. I'm always amazed that people are like, oh, Father, do you know Father Jared from Lafayette? And I'm like, no. And there's this random look of, wait, you don't know every priest in the state? No, I don't. I can't remember my name most days, but whatever.
Yeah, if you weren't in seminary with them, in a lot of cases you wouldn't know them until you came to a convention or maybe spoke at their church parish during a retreat or something. Some great topics. I do want to touch on a couple if you've got a quick second.
Sure.
Pastoral considerations in today's culture. What are some of the things that you guys are going through and considering, and are there any changes on the horizon?
I think that's the question. I'm always curious when we give a speaker a theme, where do they run with that? So we may have to have a follow-up after the conference to see what kind of surfaced. I think a lot of what I hope is discussed from our speakers, but also amongst ourselves, is how do we continue to minister in an ever-changing world? You know, the church continues to do her part, and Pope Francis guiding us through these times, but things are always changing. And so how do we as clergy minister to our people, and what does that really look like? COVID brought a whole bunch of new challenges. I think the political situation in our nation, this back and forth between people and lack of dialogue, it makes it hard to preach. So there are a lot of opportunities for conversation, and I think that's the goal for the few days that we gather together, to provide conversation, to provide prayer, and just to kind of see where it leads us in this great journey and ministry we're called to.
Yeah, and I hope, and I know this topic, ministering to the spiritually afflicted, boy, we need to focus on bringing a lot of our Catholics back to church.
Sure. Sure. And that's probably one of the downsides to the COVID adventure is that people got out of the habit of attending Mass weekly. I mean, we're fortunate, I think, in our parish that at St. Thomas More, we've seen a great return to Mass. But that's also not the case everywhere. So to offer that opportunity and to really, what does it mean to be spiritually afflicted? Mm-hmm. What does that look like in the lives of our people, and how do we help them to grow through some of their challenges?
Yeah.
So that's one of the breakout sessions for us this year. So,
well, another topic, and it's a hot one, pastoral approaches to pornography and addiction. Boy,
sure.
Us as lay people, mm-hmm. we struggle, with those issues each and every day as a church parish, no matter where your church parish is. From what I hear priests say, that those are two of the key things that they hear in confession.
Without a doubt. And, we've had Father Sean Pagali, as our presenter for one of our week-long continuing eds here in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. So he'll join us for the conference. And he's a great presenter and really kind of breaks down some of the science behind it and some of the struggles for folk and given us some tools to help people. We live in a constantly connected world where people spend just way too much time on their screens. And so the temptation is there from the oldest to the youngest. And in our diocese, we've done Safe Haven Sunday for the last 3 years, which has asked the priest to speak and preach intentionally on pornography and addiction. And I gotta tell you, as a preacher with a very diverse community, there is probably very few topics that are as difficult to address the congregation mm-hmm. about and do it in a manner that can be heard, but also to kind of protect the ears of our youngest too. So
yeah,
definitely a challenge in ministry today, but also a challenge in the world to help people break mm-hmm. free from those chains and to live in that freedom.
One final topic I want to touch on is welcoming the stranger. What do you think that will be focused on?
So I think there's a lot of direction from that. One of the direction will probably be focused on immigration. That is a hot topic in our nation. Mm-hmm. But the church is on the front lines of that. And our diocese that are what we would call border diocese are really working to serve these folks who make their way into our nation. And it's not about legal or illegal. It's about seeing that person as a person of God, as a child mm-hmm. of God. I was speaking to one of our priests yesterday who is actually in the Laredo Diocese right now doing some work. And he was sharing with me that day alone, eight folks who crossed the border died in that journey.
Wow.
And the church is there to minister to those. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think so often with immigration, we get caught up in the politics and we forget that there is a human being there. And that human being, no matter what their legal status, still deserves our respect, our love, and our care. So how do we as a church minister to the stranger among us? But also, what does that mean in a parochial sense in mm-hmm. our own parishes? Mm-hmm. Who's the stranger among us, right? Mm-hmm. So who's the person that comes in the door to our church that maybe is not Catholic, maybe hasn't greeted, has not graced the doors of the church in many years? How are they welcomed? I'm very, very proud of our community at St. Thomas More that when people come, I think they have a real sense of welcome. Hopefully Alicia can speak to that. but it's a wonderful gift when our communities are places of welcome mm-hmm. for the stranger, whether that's the immigrant, the homeless, the fallen away Catholic, the non-Catholic, the struggling, the addicted, right? Back to the previous breakout talk, right? So there's so many opportunities for us to welcome the stranger. And COVID, we talk about COVID so negatively. COVID allowed the Catholic Church to be in everybody's living room. And so that, I think, was such a graced evangelization moment that has allowed many people to come back. Our RCIA program this year and last year have been numbers that we haven't seen in years. I really attribute that to the church's evangelization during COVID. So I always like to point out some of the positives of that little journey we were all on. And I think it's one of them.
Yes,
well,
for sure.
Father Michael, before we wrap up, will you leave us with a blessing?
Sure. We obviously remember our Blessed Mother today. So we ask for her intercession on our behalf and for all of our needs. You know, whatever is on our hearts this morning, as we begin again today, we bring that to our Lord. And I ask God to bless all today on their journey and their adventure, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father Michael Alello, pastor at St. Thomas More in Baton Rouge, God bless you and have a wonderful weekend coming up.
Y'all do the same. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Okay.
See you soon.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Well, it's always fun to talk to Father Michael.
Yes, he's
such a good guy. That's why y'all have such a vibrant church parish.
That's
too.
Lots of things going on there, too.
Well, Nicole Jones is our guest coming up next, so don't go too far. 30 after the hour on this Thursday morning on Wake Up.
Minutes after the hour on this Thursday morning on the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So we're having a great time over here. We have some treats from the Heavenly Donut.
Yeah.
Damien, a little song from Damien Collado. It's a great day. I love a Marian feast.
I think the sugar's kicking in if you really want to know the truth.
We are joined this morning by Nicole Jones. She is the digital media manager for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning, y'all.
We're so happy to have you with us this morning.
And I'm so excited.
You know, Damien and I are over 30.
Yeah.
That's safe to say.
Yeah.
I don't know that we really know that much about the digital age.
Not quite 40 yet.
That's right. So just in looking around, I guess the digital age really started in the 70s, so we really should know about that. But tell us about the digital age before we get into what we're called to do as Catholics.
You know, digital media is something that consistently just like, it enamors me as someone who's, I just turned 24, you know, it's just as new for me as it is for y'all, because every day something seems to be changing or coming out or is new. And, you know, I went to the Manship School of Mass Communication at LSU. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were taught the history of media. Okay. We were taught, you know, it all started with books and, you know, Gutenberg and the printing press, like that really changed everything. Mm-hmm. More people could get wide mass audiences across the world. And then from there, it went to radio, and from there, it went to TV, from TV to the internet, and then internet, even though social media is on the internet, social media kind of became this thing in the early 2000s, right, whenever, like, MySpace, Facebook, all of that started. Mm-hmm. And it just consistently starts to change over and over and over again. What used to be, you know, MySpace was a thing for a few years, and then Facebook was a thing for a few years, then Instagram, Twitter. Now it's like there's a new app every 2 years that's coming out and like changing the game.
Yes.
So it's really fun for me. Like I'm always kept on my toes just as much as y'all are. So we feel discouraged.
Thank you for making us feel better.
Yeah.
So you know, we hear so much, you know, there's a blessing and a curse, right, to technology. And we hear so much of the negatives of technology or about social media in particular. So talk about, as Catholics, what are we called to do during this this digital age?
Yeah, so that's been something I've been grappling with a lot lately, if we're being honest. There are a lot of things that are coming out about, you know, just like the negative effects of social media. And as someone who's been on social media since I was in high school, and I started late, like Instagram came out when I was in seventh grade, and I didn't get an Instagram until I was a sophomore in high school. And like, that was like late. Like,
yes.
I was late to the game.
Yes.
But I mean, I personally, like, I can see negative effects in my friends. I can see negative effects in myself.
Mm-hmm.
But the beauty of social media is that, because there is beauty in it, like in all things, you know, there's like the negatives, but also the beauty is that we as Catholics were told by Christ, like his disciples were told to go and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. And social media allows us the power and the ability to do that in a way that we were never able to do before, just
That's
like
true.
With books and radio and TV. Social media is kind of what we, especially as young people, are able to use and kind of be in control of. And we're able to transcend like all these awful and negative things mm-hmm. that are associated with social media and really mm-hmm. bring Christ's light into the darkness,
yes.
which I think so often, especially like the kids that are in high school now, like they don't know a world without it.
Right.
I remember a world without it. So, you know, like we have the ability as Catholics, as disciples of Christ, to be able to shine his light in all of these dark places,
That's
which
right.
is the best part of my job, for sure.
That's awesome. And so really, Nicole, you really don't have to be a catechist or someone who is officially in the evangelization. It sounds to me like it's really just our day-to-day interaction through social media where we can let the light of Christ shine.
Yeah. I mean, every encounter that we have
mm-hmm.
on social media or not, we're called to show the light of Christ, right? Like
right.
in everything that we do, we're supposed to share the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So everything that we are doing not on social media, when we are on social media, should be the exact same. We should be sharing the gospel. I'm not saying you have to go and like share like a personal
Literally.
Reflection that's
right.
250 words about the day's daily gospel or something. I mean, if you
yes.
want to, go
yes.
for it. But you know, just in what you post, are you posting mm. virtuously?
Mm-hmm.
Are you posting things prudently?
Yes.
And I think that prudence, especially over the past few years, has been something. I think it's a virtue we all can grow in, but I think that's social media wants immediacy.
Yes.
So we as Catholics, we post with prudence and we post thinking about what we're saying before we just let our fingers type it, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. My children at their high school, if I have heard the principal say one time, I've heard her say a million times that what you put online is public and permanent. It doesn't matter if you think it's private. Hmm. It is public and permanent. And that message, and I think now, you know, my kids have heard it so much, it's kind of an eye roll, but they get it because it's true. And more you hear about when people are going out looking for employment, employers are looking at social media. And they're looking at mm-hmm. Your presence there. But I do find even with adults, those of us old enough to have high school and college age children, that there's a lot of comfort for people, or false sense of comfort, I should say, where you hear about these keyboard warriors, you know, these people that just go for the jugular in comments, that it just makes you wonder where all the anger is coming from. And, mm-hmm. and certainly that isn't the best venue to do that, and not the way to.
Well, it's a disassociation,
right?
Honestly, it's disassociation between being able to talk to someone face to face,
yeah.
And like, I mean, obviously, like you think face to face, you think tangible, you think the sacraments. Like this is the opposite of that. Like
yes.
this is like I can be whoever I want to be mm-hmm. on social media.
Mm-hmm.
I can portray this front. I can say whatever I want to say, and there are no consequences. Because what are they going
right.
to do? Just get rid of my account, and I can create another one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which isn't the way you should be thinking. Obviously, that's not the way to use the platform in a
right.
proper, prudent way. But people think that they can do that, and it's our job my job especially as a digital media manager for the diocese to educate people, but
mm-hmm.
it's jobs as parents, it's jobs as teachers to shine the light of Christ in these situations
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
to tell people prudently, share what, if it's not from the Lord, don't be thinking about it. Don't
yes.
be sharing it. Something
right.
like that, you know?
Right. Right. And,
that's
and,
a good key for me.
Yes.
A good
and,
scale.
And you know who you follow too, because there are a lot of
mm-hmm.
different folks that you can follow. And I love, you know, I follow Church Pop and, those kind of, Sam Hip like that, Damien. You didn't
Church
think
Pop,
so, but
huh?
Church Pop and Catholic Teen. And I love seeing a post. I'm not on social media that much, but when I see a post and I see that one of my kids was the last one to like it, I'm like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
you follow your kids?
Yeah.
You do,
I mean,
huh?
They follow me.
Yeah.
We don't have, they don't have anything to hide, I guess, that I know of anyway. So, so.
You hadn't seen Twitter lately.
No, my kids are definitely not on Twitter. So, anyway,
that's what they tell you.
So give us some quick, quick little points about when we're posting on social media, just things to be aware of. Maybe three top points before we let you go, Nicole.
I would say, I mean, obviously I've spoken a lot about prudence, and just, it's easy for us to share. And I know this was something, I want to say Facebook enacted this like policy where you can't share an article unless you've read the article. Cause that was something that was happening a lot. Like over the past few years, people would see something and just like want to share it without actually reading. Like they read the first sentence of it, you know? So like there's prudence in that, also prudence in how you're commenting. I would also recommend, I made a folder in my phone where I put all my social media. Okay. And I did this for a bit. It's still kind of on my phone, but I don't do it as often. Is that to get into a social media app, I'd have to pray like a Hail Mary. So it's my Hail Mary folder.
Nice.
But like to pray before you use social media.
I love it.
And just call on the Holy Spirit to ask how you're supposed to be interacting with.
That's awesome.
Because there are people that are hurting that you see, and maybe that's your call to talk to them or something, or reach out and ask how they're doing.
So. Nicole Jones, Digital Media Manager for the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Thanks so much for joining us today. Find out more at diobr.org. Hey, stick around. David Dawson Jr. is joining us talking about praying for our children. It's 15 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. It is 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido with Damian Collado. Today is the feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and wishing you a beautiful Thursday. We're joined this morning by David Dawson Jr. He is the director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodeau. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Great. And we understand you have a celebration in addition to Mary's birthday in your house.
Yeah, the birthday of our as well. Today's our 15th wedding anniversary.
Wonderful.
Congratulations.
15 years. Congratulations. That's a wonderful reason to celebrate. Well, we're talking today about praying for our kids and the obstacles we face when we're doing that.
Yes. Yeah, one of the things I've discovered over the years, I know we've all discovered this, is that the things that we worry most about, the things that, that eat at us most, are the things we struggle a lot of times to pray for, because we forget that, you know, I don't know, it's just a faith issue. The things that mean the most to us are the things that we have trouble trusting that God's actually going to respond. It's funny, I think when I'm asked to pray for other people, or when I see the people who are needing a prayer, that's easy. I'm like, God's going to take care of it. It's going to be great. Probably because I'm not having to watch it go down. Whereas with my own family, especially my own kids, the things that I feel most powerless or whatever, I'm like, Lord, I need you to come through. I need you to come through like this, and I need you to come through like today. And I've got no control over whether that happens or not, and that's scary. And so there's a subconscious decision a lot of times to just say, well, I'm not going to pray about it. I'm just going to worry about it. And if I go, even if I go sit in prayer, I sit and worry instead of actually talking to God. And so I think that's one of the biggest obstacles to praying for our kids, is that we assume that because we care so much about it, because we're so worried about it, that we're probably praying for them.
Yes.
When the truth is, if I probably haven't really surrendered it to God, I haven't really asked Him to do something with the expectation that He'll actually come through, which if I don't do that, and that's one of the things that I think is one of those mysteries, and tends to be some of the, one of the things we miss about the spiritual life, is that if I don't actually ask God with sincerity and with a deep sense of like I need Him to, and I want Him to, and I hope that He will, then I'm not actually asking. I haven't given it over to Him to let Him act, and He's not going to force Himself on us. You know, He's a loving God, and He's going to allow us to participate in what He's doing for us and for our kids. And so the massive difference I know I've experienced between worrying about it and hoping God does something versus actually giving it to Him and asking Him to move, the way He operates and what I've seen Him do, you know, breaking through dead ends, and what I've seen is just kind of hopeless situations. It's been amazing to see His faithfulness there.
Well, isn't it interesting that, you know, when we worry our first, or when there's a situation in particular with our children that we're concerned about, the first thing we do is, you know, we're wringing our hands and how can we fix this? How can we help? What can we do?
Exactly.
And then to know that, to move into prayer, really, for me anyway, it seems like it's really a conscious decision. Like, wait a minute, Alicia, we're not going to worry about that. Let's bring it to the feet of our Lord. But it's not necessarily my first instinct to go to prayer.
Exactly.
My first instinct is, I got to fix this. I need to, you know, need to see how I can help this situation.
Yes, exactly. And that's one of those things, we're so wrapped up in the earthly stuff and the details of life that we tend to, I think there's this kind of subconscious sense that God doesn't actually operate on that field. Like, when you really get down and dirty and fleshly, like, God doesn't really operate. He deals with more of the general principles and the spiritual kind of ideals and that kind of thing, which causes us in our most earthly situations in our parenthood to assume that he's not super involved. He kind of, that's not really what he gets involved in. Which couldn't be further from the truth. Nice. It's just something, I think, an image we've inherited and something we've just kind of slipped into. So it can make it tough. But you know, like I said, the conscious decision to actually give it a shot, and we begin to experience that he's actually different than I thought he was. You know, like, he wants to very much be in the details.
I always think of worry as the sinking Peter. You know, Lord, you know, you just can't see anything. All you can, you're just filled with worry. You can't see the Lord, can't see his hand outstretched to you, just because you can only see what's right there in front of your face, you know, not being able to see beyond that.
That's right. And just assuming that, you know, these are the kind of things that God doesn't do, or assuming that I know what God should do. And if he doesn't, then he's not doing anything. Like, Peter's walking on the water, for crying out loud, but what he's focused on is, Lord, what you should be doing is causing these waves to go away.
Yes.
And he forgets that, like, we got a miracle happening here.
Right.
It's just not the miracle I would have chosen, you know?
Yes.
And so he missed massive gifts. Like, I'm walking on water, for crying out loud.
Yeah, well, you know, that brings up an idea of fear. Mm-hmm. Quite often, as kids get older, i.e. learning how to drive and want to go to a party or somewhere, man, fear overcomes a lot of parents, and that in itself can be the obstacle between the child and the parent.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I've discovered with that, you know, you start seeing potentials. I know me as a dad, I'm like, okay, what's this going to look like in the future? Mm-hmm. How are these dynamics going to play out, you know, over the next few years, and what can I do about it? I feel hopeless. And then once they do start moving, I got even less control as they get older. And so one of the ways that I've seen how it becomes easier to pray for them, we've started praying for them individually at night before they go to bed, just to, you know, they're for focused attention. We're praying for them by name, and we're praying over them. They hear us praying for them.
Oh.
And I've discovered that, like, just being sincere in that, and it gives me an opportunity as an individual child. So I'm not trying to find time and throughout my worries and day, you know, to do this. But, like, I've got the excuse to say, all right, Lord, I'm putting this in your hands. Help him to know how much you love him, and help him to receive all that you want to give him, despite whatever obstacles might be here. And to do that on a regular basis, that for me has been a great practice in regularly offering what seems to me to be maybe obstacles and dead ends that I can't see how he's going to respond. I can't see how God's going to do it.
Yes.
And if I can't see it, then is he going to do it, you know?
Right.
As opposed to,
well,
this is yours. And I, even though if I can't understand it, I'm giving it to you.
The key thing about praying, though, and as you said, a sincere prayer, it will bring peace to you as a parent.
That's right.
And it helps, I think, in the long run with the relationship with the child. In other words, the anxiety and the attitude isn't going to come out in personal conversation even, because you're going to be a lot more at peace, trusting that the guardian angels and saints and whoever else you're praying to outside of Jesus, that they're going to do, they're going to protect them.
That's right.
And guide them in the right way. And that brings peace to my heart, even though there are times whenever I feel that anxiety building, boom, I just say a quick prayer and say, Lord, you know, take care of them.
That's right.
Yeah. If David, I trust that he's gonna,
It's so great visiting with you this morning. David Dawson, Jr., Director of the Office of Parish Support for the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux. Let our listeners know where they can find out more about you and the diocese.
Yes, plenty of stuff at htdiocese.org. And our page is OPS, Office of Parish Support. Lots of great opportunities to get things moving at your parish, and we're happy to help.
Awesome. Thank you so much, David. Happy anniversary.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
God bless. Wow.
That was a quick hour.
Yes, it was.
All right.
Well, we're going to say our prayer in honor of Mary's special day in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Most lovable Mother Mary, our Father in heaven created you with the light. You are his creature whom he made worthy to become the holy mother of his son. You were born into a family of saints. Pray for me today that my joy in your son will increase and that my family may become more holy. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, we hope you join us tomorrow. That's Friday for Wake Up. We have wonderful guests. Deacon Dan Bornay will join us to talk about the Eucharist. Our friend Carlo Broussard talks about his book, Meeting the Protestant Response, How to Answer Common Comebacks to the Catholic Argument, to Catholic Arguments. And I'll visit with Jeff Young, the Catholic foodie. We're going to talk about his time that he spent with Mother Teresa. Sacred artist Blair Gordy Pierce will also join us to talk about an upcoming lecture she has titled Making Visible the Invisible, the Dogma of the Trinity in Sacred Art. It's going to be a great show. We hope you'll join us tomorrow, and we'll see you then. Have a wonderful day.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.